Napa know-how.
There are lots of amazing cars on the road, but perhaps none more amazing than the paid-off car. It may not be pretty, but the price is right. Heck, if you keep that thing running, it'll actually start paying you. Because with Napa Rewards, for every $100 you spend, you'll get $5 off. So keep your car running longer, stronger with Napa Rewards and watch the savings start rolling in. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome to the show. It's Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Wes Goldberg. With me, as always, it's David Ramil. We're going to touch on a subject that we really haven't talked about in a long time. We're going to broach the Dwayne Wade situation in Chicago. The Bulls having a bit of a meltdown in this January. Should we catch everybody up, David, on kind of the gist? I don't know if we want to read everything, but basically,
they're going through a tough stretch right now. They've lost a few games as of late. There have been some complaints in-house, and those were brought to light, particularly after a game on Wednesday night. Loss to the Hawks in the Southeastern Division. And Dwayne Wade spoke out to media, and his comments were basically directed at the team's young players, saying that they need to devote more energy, that it's not just about wearing a jersey. It's about showing effort on a consistent basis and trying to do whatever's possible for a win.
I can look at Jimmy and this is the tweets from Casey Johnson, who covers the Bulls. I can look at Jimmy and say, Jimmy is doing his job. I think Jimmy can look at me and say, Dwayne is doing his job. I don't know if we can keep going down the line and be able to say that. That's basically saying, like, it's not me and it's not Jimmy Butler, but it's everybody else. And
Butler had his own comments for the media as well.
Right. What did he say? I'm trying to find
out. Basically, very similar, just about the overall effort of the team. And, I think it was directed at the younger players on the team. I guess they haven't been as consistent. And that's, again, there's a lot of frustration there. I'm trying to think. They're below 500 at this point. Yeah, 23-24 with that loss to the Hawks. Before that, they'd won two games in a row, but they'd lost two games. Again, it's they're not in dire straits, but for a team that was supposed to compete at a high level, that had high expectations for this season, I think there just has been a lot of problems. The roster in particular, as we've discussed before, seems haphazardly assembled. We weren't quite sure what was going to happen with these two guards that dominate the ball and can't really shoot from the outside, and Rajon Rondo and Dwayne Wade. Jimmy Butler has clearly been a great player and earned an all-star selection this year. But other than that, a lot of the pieces on the roster just don't seem to fit together, and there seems to be some trouble there. And then,
I mean, Wade is clearly not, wins and losses obviously play a part in this, but he's clearly not comfortable or happy with this culture in the locker room. I mean, he goes on and says, if heart is the issue, says, I don't know, I've never had that problem. They have to figure that out. And if it has to change, it has to hurt inside to lose games like this. And then he says, this shit should fucking hurt. And then Rondo this afternoon, went on Instagram. And so Rondo's not included, right? So this whole thing, you're going into the season, Wade signs with the Bulls, they have Rondo, they already have Jimmy Butler, obviously, and they start calling themselves the three alphas. These have got to be the guys that lead the team. Wade's comments are about him and Jimmy Butler, and completely doesn't include Rajon Rondo, who's had his own ups and downs this season, right, about being benched for six straight games, et cetera. And
attacking an assistant coach. And then he launches his Instagram post.
Right.
And launches this Instagram post with a picture of him, Kevin Garnett, and Paul Pierce hearkening back
to their Celtics. No Ray Allen, man. Does Ray Allen go to Instagram now? Like, I was part of them vets. Rondo doesn't know what he's talking about. He had a veteran. I don't know. I'm just joking.
But. So let me read the Instagram post here, and it's full.
Okay.
My vets would never go to the media. This is Rondo saying. They would come to the team. My vets didn't pick and choose when they wanted to bring it. They brought it every time they stepped in the gym, whether it was practice or a game. They didn't take days off. My vets didn't care about their numbers. My vets played for the team. When we lost, they wouldn't blame us. They took responsibility and got in the gym. They showed the young guys what it meant to work. Even in Boston, when we had the best record in the league, if we lost a game, you could hear a pin drop on the bus. They showed us the seriousness of the game. My vets didn't have an influence on the coaching staff. They couldn't change the plan because it didn't work for them. I played under one of the greatest coaches, Doc Rivers, and he held everyone accountable. It takes 1 through 15 to win, meaning the whole roster. When you isolate everyone, you can't win consistently. I may be a lot of things, but I'm not a bad teammate, says Rondo. My goal is to pass what I learned along. The young guys work. They show up. They don't deserve blame. If anything is questionable, it's the leadership.
And the leadership being Wade and Butler and maybe even Coach Fred Hoiberg. And just side note, nobody's ever a bad teammate. It's like nobody's ever, you know, nobody's ever guilty in prison. Nobody's ever a bad teammate.
Except for the guy who two seasons ago was, you know, basically kicked off the team and was denied his share of the playoff money after when he was with the Dallas Mavericks. And that guy would be Rajon Rondo. So for somebody who's never been a bad teammate, he sure sounds like a pretty shitty teammate.
Now we've entered this whole, you know, the Bulls are, they're melting down completely. There's no trust in the locker room. There's no, I mean, first of all, Dwayne Wade and Rajon Rondo have never liked each other, and they've hated each other for years. And it's just all, and what now that they're, Wade wants to go to Chicago and do this thing that he goes back home like his buddy LeBron did, and Rondo happens to be there, and he's like, "Oh no, we've never disliked each other. Just, you know, it's competitive spirit and respect." It's like, right. Bullshit. You tried to knock his head off. Like, it's.
Well, according to Celtics fans, he threw him down to the ground and dislocated his arm during a playoff run.
And he did. You
remember that? That happened. Right. I mean, it did happen. Like, at the time, I didn't think anything of it. But from Celtics fans' perspectives, it was like it cemented Wade as one of the greatest cheap shot artists of all time. And yeah, there was clear animosity there. There's that picture that's a classic of Rondo jawing at Wade. Very antagonistic look in his eye, and Wade kind of smirking like, you know, what are you going to do, bro? You're not going to do anything.
Right. I'll dislocate your elbow.
Your other elbow.
Your other elbow. You want many elbows. Play Connect 4 now. It's
good one.
It's funny. I mean, it's funny. Never mind. I'm not going to try to apologize for it. This is hilarious. I still have... You know, I still got the feels for Dwayne Wade. He's still a Miami Heat hero. He is not wrong in this at all because he's Dwayne Wade and he can't do anything wrong other than leave the Heat. But it is a little interesting now because, like I said, we haven't talked about this in a long time. But before the season, with him leaving, we talked about it all the time. And we went back and forth a lot. I know you and I just personally, we went back and forth a lot. Is this Riley's fault? Is this Wade's fault? Like, who's to blame here? Ultimately kind of coming to the decision that nobody's to blame here. Right. And it is a little, and you know, reporters close to the team have said, like, if Wade had a little bit more time to make a decision, I think he still stays in Miami. And it was, you know, this was a last minute decision in a lot of ways. It was a rash decision. It was a very impulsive thing that Dwayne Wade did to leave Miami and go sign with Chicago. Right. And, you know, you get the sense that he's looking at this and he's like, you know what? Maybe I didn't appreciate, not to say he was wrong in leaving, but maybe he didn't fully appreciate the one locker room in one organization and the stability and the culture of that organization, the only organization he ever knew. He's going somewhere else and saying, oh, this is very different in other places.
It's not easy, I think, to take over a locker room. And I think it's one thing when you're Dwayne Wade at 35. And is no longer at the peak of his powers and is not quite the player that he once was, as opposed to, say, when LeBron did it a couple of seasons ago when he left Miami to return to Cleveland. And you know, again, already having had connections to the team, right, the players that were on that team.
Like, it's, yeah, I mean, yeah.
He was the undisputed leader because, again, there were those connections there, but also because he could back up what he said. If he goes in there and just changes the culture around and insists on trading Dion Waiters, which he did, and you know, bringing Kevin Love instead of Andrew Wiggins, et cetera, then these things kind of make him look like an asshole, and deservedly so. But again, if you back it up with your level of play, then you get a little bit of credibility and you kind of take a back seat knowing, well, I mean, this is LeBron. This is his city, his team. It makes sense for him to take over this leadership role. For Dwayne Wade, he hasn't nearly done enough. I mean, he's been a longtime foe of the Bulls, to be honest with you, back to their Derrick Rose days. You know, he thwarted them at every opportunity. And for him to go in there again with this really mixed locker room of troublesome players, and there is a leadership problem. And now here's a situation. To me, I think he's wrong. I think he's wrong to have said what he did.
Yeah, he is. I joked around earlier. He is.
No, I know. And it's not – it puts a very bad light on everything. And some of the reports have been kind of skewed to saying that maybe he wants to force his way out of the team, that maybe he wants to get bought out and join a contender, maybe go to Cleveland, something along those lines. And that's certainly a possibility. I wouldn't put it past him. But that seems like the wrong way to go about it. And it just kind of sullies an otherwise untarnished legacy, I think.
I don't know what to make of Dwayne Wade because there has been talking about the whole, what if he goes to Cleveland, right? There was a report that came out recently about the idea, why didn't you sign with the Cavaliers? And he said, well, they only had $2 million to give me, and I'm not going to chase rings. I've already got three. I'm at a point of my career, I've got three. I don't need to chase rings. I'm not going to take $2 million to chase rings. I've got three of them. And he kind of kept repeating that. And so you get the sense like, all right, does he sign with Chicago? Because he doesn't – maybe he does, right? Maybe he looks at – maybe it was him and the GM of the Bulls were the only two people in the world that thought Rondo was still a good basketball player. And maybe – and he looks at Rondo. He's like, that's an all-star point guard. I've got Jimmy Butler, an up-and-coming small forward or whatever. I'm going to push him over to small forward. I'm an all-star shooting guard. Did you see what I did to the Hornets this last season? And we've got Robin Lopez who will fight any mascot that even comes near us. So – we've got a team that can compete with the Cavaliers. I don't think I don't know that he looked at it that way. I don't know that, given how he left with the Heat, it wasn't about trying to find a championship contender. This was a team that was a game away from going to the Eastern Conference Finals to play LeBron and the Cavaliers. It wasn't about that, you know? It was about money. It was about respect. It was about more emotional things than that.
And the hometown factor.
And the whole going home to Chicago and, like, that whole thing. Like, that was... It was really.
It helped
emotional.
That they paid him more than anybody else.
Yes, and like a few million dollars more. It was like the real respect. It was a very emotional decision, and not necessarily one based in logic. And now for him to say like this team doesn't win enough or want to win enough, and this isn't like now all these like things about winning come into play, where it doesn't really feel like that was a factor in his decision to go to the Bulls in the first place. You know what I mean? It's like, sure. Does he want? He wants his cake and he wants to eat it too, sort of thing.
And then conversely, it's okay to say those things or to have those feelings, but I think there is a problem with him going to the media about it because it just undermines him. Like
it was a very LeBron move, right? Is he kind of getting influenced by LeBron here? The whole real life subtweet thing.
Well, I think I brought it up on another podcast, and maybe it's been a while, but. Somebody who was older and wiser than me and had much more experience at a professional level explained to me that there are two types of leaders. And one is the person who will try to unite the people who work for him or her and bring them all together so that they can form a better team and work towards a common goal. And then there's the other type of leader that tries to create dissension in the ranks and play everybody off of each other and create a sense of tension and to see who rises by fighting over the other people that they're supposedly working together with. Hmm. And I think we're starting to see that side of Dwayne Wade, the latter part of it, the one who wants to create dissension. And it's unfortunate because I don't think that works in locker rooms. Now, I remember Kobe Bryant, you know, famously saying that it's okay to have a little tension in the locker room, to have everybody pissed off at one another. But, I mean... It didn't work for Kobe. I mean, that's the reality. Even when he was the leader of those two friend, you know, those championship teams, I think it was, you know, it was going against the harmonious vibes that Phil Jackson was trying to create with the Lakers. So I don't necessarily agree with it.
The Kobe Lakers won despite that, not because of that. You know, causation and correlation aren't the same thing.
Very good point. So maybe LeBron is having some of that influence. I don't know. Like you remember him last year talking about Kevin Love and. you know, kind of saying you're either in or out, you know, and you choose to be out or something along those lines. And it worked when they smoothed everything over and they wound up winning a championship. Yeah, it's all fun and games after that point. But, you know, there's still a lot of tension. There's tension now in Cleveland, and he's calling out people. He's saying that they don't have a backup point guard, that they need some more play. I saw the start the of their
is,
games.
The team is top heavy, right? It's like it's me, it's Kyrie, and it's Kevin.
Top heavy as shit.
It's top heavy as shit. Like, it does, you know, we know how close Dwayne Wade and LeBron James are, right? LeBron James is allowed to order Dwayne Wade to fish. Like, how much, I don't know how much closer you can be with another human. But do we understand the reference?
Chilean sea bass.
Yeah, Chilean sea bass. If you don't get the Chilean sea bass reference, I'm sorry. we know that they're close, right? And we know that they've fed off each other and that they've influenced each other. And it's just one of those things that's linked their careers is that they've had so much influence on each other, especially since LeBron came to Miami and signed with the Heat. And I do feel like Wade is, look, he went to Chicago. He did the homecoming, that he looked at LeBron and he's like, I'm going to do the homecoming. And I'm sure that's not his only motivation, right? But that factored in. And I think seeing LeBron be able to do that and be beloved by Cleveland and everything like that, I think he's like, that seems dope. I'm going to try that. And he does it. And he looks at the way LeBron, quote unquote, leads, you know, whether it's like what you were talking about, that's how he leads, by the real life subtweets, and does it and leads through the media or whatever. And he's like, they've been to two straight finals. He just won last year. I'm going to try that. And he tries it. And it just thinks like, I think LeBron won in spite of that stuff. You know, I think he does a really good job of LeBron. I think does a really good job, you know, outside of away from the media cameras. I think in front of the media cameras, he has his moments where he does that dumb stuff. But overall, like generally speaking, the stuff we don't see, how he's like a locker room clown and he's always hanging out with people and he's able to pull J.R. Smith aside and say, keep shooting and doing that stuff. Like,
buying gifts for everybody, building camaraderie in that sense. Yeah.
He, in the general sense, he does a better job and he's not without his weaknesses. I don't know that Dwayne Wade does or doesn't do that, but clearly the Bulls locker room is falling apart. Losing doesn't help. You know, LeBron being LeBron and having somebody as talented as Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love, that helps. You know, having an owner that was willing to go over the luxury tax, that helps. But all of that is to say, I don't know. Is Wade's time in Chicago starting to come up? And maybe that's the next conversation we have here. Is this a situation where Wade says, this was cool. Thanks, Chicago. Good time. Super cold here. I'm going back. I want to go back to South Florida. Is the key still under the mat?
That is an interesting question. And I think we should also introduce the fact that, well, they're playing Miami this Friday, so that is they're tonight's opponent. Where by the time people listen to this podcast, they'll be preparing for that game against Miami. Will be playing in Chicago, if I'm not mistaken.
What was that movie? The Will Ferrell movie. Why am I forgetting this? The basketball one. Tropics, the Flint Tropics. I know the team.
I don't remember it. The 70s era.
Will Ferrell.
ABA type team.
Yeah.
Sure.
Will Ferrell's basketball movie. Let's Google it really quick. And we got people like yelling at Semi-Pro. Yeah. Sorry, listeners. There you knew go. It immediately and were like, you guys are idiots. Semi-Pro, when Andre 3000's character gets traded to the Spurs or whatever the Spurs team is. And then they come back and he's like having like whatever season. And he comes back to Flint and he just like goes back into the Flint Tropics locker room and puts the Tropics jersey on. He's like, I'm with you guys, you know, no matter what. I think that's what happens, is what I'm saying. I think that's what happens. Wade's just like, fuck this locker room. Rondo's a jerk. I don't want to deal with it. Jimmy Buckets is cool, but whatever. I'm going to go like back to my Miami locker room. He's going to put his Wade jersey on. He's like, I'm with you guys. You and me, Dion, let's do this. This is our city. Like... That's what
happened. This is my house and our city.
Yeah, my house, your city. Let's share.
Oh.
Gordon is just like, whatever.
I'm getting traded to Orlando, so what do I care? that's an interesting question. I guess I guess it would be something that Miami would have to accept. Like, I don't think they could publicly say, no, sorry, we don't want to have anything to do with you at this point. If somehow Dwayne Wade was able to negotiate a buyout with the Bulls, I imagine that Miami, and if his agent called Miami and said, look, he wants to come back home, I don't think Pat Riley could afford to say, oops, nope, sorry, the offer does not extend to this season. It goes beyond that. Maybe next year we can bring him in, but we don't want to disrupt what's going on right now. I think he'd have to come back to Miami, or Miami would have to accept him if he chose to come back. I guess to many people that might sound like a no-brainer, but I think Pat kind of was aware of Wade's declining skills and made the decision not to overpay for him. So I think, you know, this is a general manager, team president who's been cold-hearted and ruthless in the past, and then, you know, that's important to do. It's part of the game, and you need to be able to be honest and fair and say, look, you can't play at a high level. I'm not going to pay you just because of the good times and the happy memories. For that, we'll put together a nice video when you come back in October.
I mean, there are little rumblings now that Dwayne Wade might force a buyout, right? Like, that's not something you're just saying.
That is true.
There are rumblings. So, you know, Wade has two more years left at $23-ish million a year. That's an expensive buyout. But players
are allowed to negotiate. He does have a player option, though.
And the player option, right? So players are allowed to negotiate the buyout. He could just say, give me $3, I'm out of here. That's fine. Like,
it doesn't seem likely, though.
It doesn't seem likely, right? But in buyouts, you're allowed to negotiate. So there's room for that. I wonder, we've sort of talked about this before. Maybe we've talked about it, but by him signing with Chicago, leaving for a brief time, hypothetically, if he were to come back, for him leaving to Chicago, leaving for a brief time and coming back, it opens up the door to welcome him back, and then he can come off the bench. He could be the veteran sixth man, something like that. It opens up that door where Miami is allowed to reset the table as far as negotiations. Like, we'd love to have you back. Like we said, keys under the mat. However, you want to come back, you're going to come off the bench. We're going to lean into this youth movement or whatever it might be, if that's what they want to do. Or if Pat Riley is like, look, we're going to bring some veteran group guys back together. We sign you. We're going to go get Blake Griffin or whatever. And I don't know. But like, it might be a situation like that. Or Dwayne Wade comes back and they're able to trade, I don't know, Hassan Whiteside for Carmelo Anthony or something. And then you're putting half the banana boat together or whatever. I don't know. But this is now something that's back on our radar, right?
It's interesting, yeah. The conversation took a big turn because I thought it was going to be just focused on the chaos in Chicago's locker room, but it does open up a lot of questions about whether or not Wade would come back to Miami, whether or not he fits in here and things of that sort. And yeah, I just don't think he could accept a bench role, though, to be honest with you.
I'm with you. He probably can't, but hey, that means we get Deion Waiters and Tyler Johnson off the bench. I'm cool with that.
Ooh. But, you know, after Deion's played so good and talked about how comfortable he is, remember, you know, forgetting quotes in the middle of a post-game interview.
Great? That was just great. We didn't get a chance to talk about it after the game because we didn't see that.
We didn't hear it until we were recording, but yeah.
It's like that quote, I forget, but it's one of my favorites. It's like, really? Is it?
One of my favorite quotes. I forgot already, but it's one of my favorite quotes. It's like, wow. It wasn't that good if you forgot it already. But you just forgot Semi Pro a second ago, and so did I. I mean, it happened, and we just haven't played 40 minutes of a game in Brooklyn and hit the game winning shot and rush to shower and get the hell out of there before you freeze your ass off. I mean, it's hard for them to remember, and plus it's Deion. It's perfect. I mean, who cares? He could do no wrong.
You can't. So, all right, let's talk a little about, speaking about Deion Waiters doing no wrong, let's talk a little bit about the NBA All-Star Reserves, the whole team being announced, right? So, Eastern Conference, we won't talk about the Western Conference, but Eastern Conference, Kyrie Irving, DeMar DeRozan, Jimmy Butler, LeBron James, and Greek Freak Giannis Antetokounmpo, those are your starters, and then which we knew. The reserves were announced. Kyle Lowry, who should have been a starter. Isaiah Thomas, who probably should have been a starter. John Wall, Kemba Walker, Paul George, Paul Millsap, Kevin Love. No Miami Heat players. Not surprising, considering that it's usually teams that are mediocre to good that get all-star players.
Mm-hmm.
The Heat's five-game win streak notwithstanding. Did, my question to you, did Hassan Whiteside and Goran Dragic get snubbed?
You know, I was going to try to argue that, but when you look at the fact that both John Wall and Kemba Walker, both of whom play for, you know, Washington and Charlotte respectively, and both of which are in the Southeastern Division, it's hard to say that Goran, as good as he's been, deserves a place there. I think Kemba's numbers on offense are better than Goran's, although not from three-point range. And John Wall's numbers are comparable, but his defense is far better than...
John Wall means so much to that Wizards team, too. I heard like really smart arguments that he should have been a starter. So I've got no issue with John Wall being in there.
Yes, I think Zach Lowe arguing that.
Yeah. On his podcast, yep.
Yeah, it was... I mean, yeah, absolutely. I think he was talking to Jeff Van Gundy about it. And yeah, it was. It sounds
so
like...
so deep in point guards, and that's the problem.
It is, interestingly enough, yeah.
Kyle Lowry
has been phenomenal in Toronto, and he couldn't even get the starting nod. And I know a lot of Heat fans, particularly back in my parents' house, don't want to hear anything positive about Kyle Lowry. But the reality is, he's been better this year than at any point in his career. He's hitting shots.
He's been the best guard in the East. I was actually going to say, if Goran Dragic has an argument to make over any guard, I think it's Kyrie Irving, who ended up getting voted in as a starter.
Right.
I think of all the guards, I would have been most okay with dropping Kyrie and putting Goran Dragic in there, because I don't think Kyrie's been... He's been good. I mean, his numbers are good, but he hasn't been good enough to be in there over Kyle Lowry. I think Isaiah Thomas has been better than him. I think John Wall has been better than him. Right. I think Kemba Walker has been better in a vacuum than Kyrie Irving has this year. So if I don't think Dragic got snubbed. It sucks when you're a team that has five wins or whatever the Heat have. I know how many they have. I'm exaggerating. That's the hard part. So I think...
Now, this is an interesting argument, because I think in that same podcast we referred to, you know, it was the Van Gundy doctrine, if I recall correctly, yes, that teams have to be above 500.
Yes.
Do you think that that's a something that you have to adhere to as far as all-star votes? And obviously neither of us have a vote at this point, but is that something that you think matters when it comes to like choosing an all-star player?
I go back and forth on that. I think because all-stars look, I my general outlook is to not have hard and fast rules on anything.
There you go.
But
sounds chaotic to me.
Right. I'm not a Sith Lord, and I don't deal with absolutes and always and shapes, but I do think that there should be a little room for leeway.
Sure.
So if Goran Dragic is on a 15-win team but he's scoring 40 points a game, you know what I mean? Like,
right, you make an exception.
Right. And that's why
Anthony Davis in the West is that exception.
Anthony Davis is that exception. Joel Embiid had a strong case to be that exception, especially when you look at his plus minus numbers and whatever stats that you value. That's the other thing, is that so many people value separate stats. Like, even when you get to shooting percentages, some people are like effective field goal percentage over true shooting percentage and vice versa. Like,
counting stats.
Yeah, it's crazy. But I would be willing to make an exception. Now, if the team is so bad that player is just kind of putting up empty stats, you got to look at that. So I think that's when it helps to like look at the game. How good is this player compared to other players? And in Dragic's case, he's just not better enough than any of these guys to make a case. And the All-Star game, there's obviously a finite amount of spots, so you're splitting hairs, and one of those hairs just has to be how good is your team. I just think that comes into play. Like, do you help lead your team to more wins? That's ultimately what matters. So I'm okay. What about you?
And no, I don't think it necessarily makes a big difference, because I think so much goes into like what a winning team is. Like, I mean, you can look at the two most winningest teams in each conference, and part of why they're that good is because they have such great players. And you know, Golden State is one of like seven teams in NBA history to have four all-stars on their roster. And I mean, the Cleveland Cavaliers have three all-stars on their roster. Toronto has two all-stars on their roster, et cetera. So, I mean, winning is directly correlated to the quality of play. But at the same time, it's like you need to have really, really good players. And generally, if you have really, really good players on your team, you're going to win a lot of basketball games. Right. So I think there's a correlation there. I don't think one should define the other. If you're a great player on a bad team, and Charles Barkley argued this during the broadcast when they announced the NBA All-Star Reserves, he's like, oh, well, you know, you could be putting up big numbers on a bad team. It's like, yeah, well, maybe you're like Anthony Davis, who has nothing else surrounding you but a bunch of, you know, Jrue Holiday and a bunch of scrubs who can't really shoot from the outside.
And this is why I think Dragic doesn't get snubbed. I do think Whiteside gets really hurt by this lack of winning. Because, look, a guard, a player that controls the ball like Dragic can have, I think, a more direct correlation to winning than somebody who, like Whiteside, who doesn't bring the ball up the floor, doesn't initiate offense. An offense might run through him, but he doesn't necessarily initiate offense. There's been very few players, centers in this league that are able to, you know, run an offense and be a number one scoring option. You know what I mean? Like most recently, probably Dwight Howard, you know, at a level where he's able to get his team to the playoffs and the finals. But for Whiteside, he's a good number three option. His stats were really good. You compare him to a player like Andre Drummond last year with a Pistons team that was 1-15 better than this Heat team right now and was in the race and in the mix for a playoff spot, right? They were kind of in that, you know, Jeff Van Gundy doctrine, like right around 500 at All-Star time, that a player that had worse stats at this point than Whiteside in Andre Drummond gets into the All-Star game and he becomes the one lone true center in that as a reserve, right? I think he got in as a reserve. Whiteside, no, there's no Whiteside, but he has head over heels the best stats out of any center, true center in the East. Now the East has no true centers on the roster at all. I mean, the closest thing they have is maybe Paul Millsap or even Giannis. Like, I don't even know. But no true centers, and that's interesting, and that's how it's built in, right? They just do guards and front court players who don't need a center anymore. But I thought that's interesting that whatever, maybe it's a new voting process too, because before, you know, I don't know. But what I'm trying to say is I think Whiteside got really hurt, and you look at if Whiteside puts up these numbers last season, he gets in over Andre Drummond, and maybe Dragic gets in if he's putting in these numbers. The difference is that Dragic is a really good number two guy. Whiteside is a really good number three guy. They don't have a true number one option. Well, they didn't. I guess Deion Waiters is now, and that's why they're on a five-game win streak. But
good point.
If Deion Waiters is healthy earlier, it doesn't miss 20 straight games with a groin tear, Dragic and Whiteside are in the All-Star game. But and so is Deion Waiters is the MVP favorite. But basically that's what I'm trying to say is that the Heat got screwed by losing so much. Because Whiteside's numbers are All-Star caliber. And there's just and unfortunately he just at his position can't do enough to impact winning. It's just the nature of that position.
I don't know about that because I mean you got a guy like Kristaps Porzingis or even Embiid, and I mean I think we're looking at the limited aspects of what Whiteside does, and he's just more of a back to the basket player, somebody along those lines, maybe a guy who's no longer the norm at the center position.
Well, you look at a guy like DeAndre Jordan, right? He makes it in the West. If you swap DeAndre Jordan and Hassan Whiteside, Whiteside makes it in the West. He's an All-Star in the West, and DeAndre Jordan's not on the All-Star team in the East. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you're right. It's a tough argument. I don't know how to stand on it, to be honest with you. I don't feel bad about Whiteside's exclusion, to be honest with you. I think Millsap, with his versatility and everything that he brings, is a fine addition. And maybe there's just a level of comfort there. And I mean, look, we can't have it both ways. You know, we talked about Dwayne Wade wanting his cake and eating it too. And, you know, when Chris Bosh was being chosen as an All-Star by the coaches, we said, oh, it's a perfectly good decision. And could they appreciate his impact? They know better than anybody else what he does on a daily basis because they have to game plan for a guy like that. And while I think Chris Bosh I don't think Whiteside is nearly at the same level as Chris Bosh is. I think you could make an argument that Millsap is equally versatile or, you know, as good a component of the Atlanta Hawks team as Chris Bosh was during the Big Three era, or even a couple seasons following that.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, I don't have a problem with Whiteside not being on the team. Everybody that's on the Eastern All-Star team, they deserve it. You know what I mean? It's not like somebody's in there, it doesn't. And, like, you know, splitting hairs, ultimately, like, if you're on a bad team, you just don't make it. And that's just, historically, that's the way it goes. But it's just, it's funny how, like I said, if Whiteside's in the West and he's on the Clippers, he's probably on that All-Star team. But
I've got a problem with Isaiah Thomas making it, to be honest with you.
Do you really?
A little bit.
Isaiah Thomas?
The numbers are so good offensively, but the defensive numbers are such a problem. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
If you really value, that's the thing, right? It's like, what do you value? His number, he's scoring almost 30 points a game, though. Like, it's crazy.
I know. It's ridiculous. So much. There's a lot to take in. The All-Star game in general should be probably abolished.
Do you think the weekend should be, or just the game? And you think we should just do like the dunk contest and all that should stay?
Oh, I think all of it should.
Wow.
Yeah, and I know it's not going to, because it's a lot of money for the cities that host it and things like that sort. But I mean, look, last year's dunk contest was frigging great. Yeah. The 5 to 10 years before that, not so much. Last year's contest was great. The 3-point contest is fine. The skills contest,
but again, why get rid of it? Why? Just because it's a waste of time?
Why have it then? I mean, just to say, oh, you want it? I mean,
well,
it's the whole thing seems like forced to me sometimes, you know. And then the All-Star game itself, I mean, unless it counts for something,
like it does in baseball.
And I don't even think that happens in baseball anymore, right? Didn't they abolish that?
Did they? I don't know. I haven't watched baseball since the Marlins sold the.
I think they just did.
Miguel Cabrera. I haven't watched them. I haven't given a shit about the Marlins.
I think it was supposed to determine who had home court home field advantage during the World Series. Yeah.
And they got rid of that.
Yeah, they did change.
I think that the All-Star game is fine. I like that it happens in the middle of the season, that guys have a break, and that we get to sort of see guys on the same team. And I like that the guys are rewarded for putting in the effort for the first half of the season, and then like the second half of the season gets into like playoff mode, high gear. I like that it breaks it up that way. And I like that we have that as a barometer to like measure, you know, historically, what is this player better than the other player? And that's why.
But isn't that kind of silly though, considering the fact that, I mean,
I think Zaza Pachulia. Yeah, I think the voting's all wrong. Like, I don't know if I've told you this before. I'm not sure if we were doing a podcast when I said it, but I think the media should just have the votes. I don't think that players and fans should vote. I think it should just be media members, because we're the ones that I'm media, but like, I guess. We have a podcast, so I could say that. So,
you're absolutely right. You're credentialed. You're a media.
Oh yeah.
You write about the NBA all the time. I mean, I think you're as qualified as anybody. I mean, look, I mean, that's a whole other argument then. And then,
well, I mean, but it's then, not. I am as qualified as anybody. But I think it's just like media members are like, you know, coaches are paying attention to their teams. Players are just voting, like we saw. They just vote for their freaking friends, like Luke Babicat votes or something. Like,
but then that same podcast we were referring to, Van Gundy abstained from voting because he doesn't like the All-Star game at all. And then you've got some play-by-play announcer on the radio broadcast over in Houston voting for, you know, somebody, or Eric Gordon to be an All-Star over somebody who clearly deserves it a lot more.
So you don't. You just got to be like,
pledging to be unbiased. Like you're going to have biases.
No, here's what happens. You have a panel that selects 50 media members a year or whatever, 100 media members a year. Just pick a number. Let's just go with 100. You get 100 media members a year and you poll them. But then you see that guy votes for Eric Gordon.
Or doesn't vote at all in the case of Van Gundy, who gets a vote and just doesn't use it.
You lose your vote. It's just like you have a review. You have a panel. It's just like, look, I respect your right to vote for who you want. Eric Gordon has no business being in the Western Conference, not with all these guards we have. You lose your vote next year. Like, Van Gundy, you didn't vote? Fine. We'll give your vote to somebody else. Like, that, and you have a panel that reviews it. Like, why not do that? Why is it so democratic? That's my question. Is like, I'm pro-democracy. But it doesn't need, like, this is not a situation where it needs to be like, yeah, let the fans vote. Let China put in whoever they want. Like, Twitter makes decisions now. Like, hashtags are great. Like, let's just let that be what affects the voting. If we're going to take it seriously and use it in Hall of Fame speeches and as a barometer, does this guy make the Hall of Fame? Does he not? He never made an All-Star game. He only made three, whatever. Like, shouldn't experts be in charge of it as opposed to, you know, the 7-year-old who got an iPhone and just wants to vote for Kobe Bryant even though he's retired? Like,
I think that's the argument that a media member makes because they feel like they're generally unbiased or wanting to see the best players of the game, you know, representing there. But I think, but fans don't work that way. You know, they want to see the players that they love for whatever ridiculous ass reason. And then at the same time, conversely, you want those fans to still have interest in the whole All-Star process in the first place, not just the voting, but who gets snubbed because it creates a lot of buzz.
Why don't look, players are forced to play in the All-Star game, right? Essentially.
Unless they're hurt, yeah.
You get unless you're hurt, you get voted in, you have to play. Like you get voted in, you have to play. LeBron, you have to play in the All-Star game. You're a starter. And he's like, well, okay. I've done this a million times, fine. I guess I'm doing it again. I'd rather rest, but whatever. Instead of look, nobody the All-Star game is boring anyway. We just use it as a thing to put on to our resume, you know? We add it to players' resumes. Let the media vote on it. Nobody watches it anyway. Let the fans vote for the dunk contest, the skills competitions. Aaron Gordon, you have to go. Zach LaVine saying I'm not going. The fans would have voted Zach LaVine in. Zach LaVine, yeah, we want to see you in the dunk contest. He's got to go in now. Instead of it being voluntary, now you all of a sudden you let the fans vote for that, and they get to see their favorite players do the things that they actually want to watch as opposed to the All-Star game. I think, personally, that the celebrity game is better than the All-Star game. I like to see the celebrities try to play basketball. I think that's more fun. But
I don't even know any of the celebrities that are participating. Has that been announced?
No, it's not been announced. But they always try way harder than the players, which I appreciate. They're like really trying to be like, no, I'm an actor, but I could ball too. So they're always trying to do that.
Has there been any good celebrity who could actually play at a high level?
Bieber's not that bad.
I can't believe you said that.
I'm an objective media member. He's not that bad.
I feel dirty. I don't know if I want to continue.
But
this
it's what's his face is always the MVP celebrity.
Kevin Hart.
Yeah, Kevin Hart's always the MVP. He's good.
He is good.
I think Jason Sudeikis played last year. If I'm not mistaken. Wow. I like him. He's funny. Anyway, yeah, I think
wasn't he in Semi Pro too?
No, he was not in Semi Pro. Maybe. Woody Harrelson was. I always enjoy Woody Harrelson. Speaking of, aren't they making a White Guys Can't Jump 2?
Yes, they are. White Men Can't Jump. No, I don't know if it's 2 or if it's just a remake.
So Woody Harrelson might not be in it. All right.
No, you have to find like a white guy under 6 feet who can theoretically dunk.
Yeah, and then you're going to have like Woody Harrelson like 3/4 of the way through the movie come in as like the coach that's able to like, I know how
still
to
kind of sort of all.
Yeah, and he's like, I got you, kid. I've been in your shoes before, and like this kid has no idea who Woody Harrelson is. That's what it's going to be.
Is Wesley Snipes in show?
No, he got out.
He did? Okay,
yeah, he tweets now. You should check out his Twitter account. It's great.
Can you tweet from jail? Is that something you can or can't do?
Well, if you're a celebrity, do anything you want from jail, but he's out of jail, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, good.
It was just tax fraud, right? Like, no big deal.
No big deal.
Our president does it. It's fine. Like,
ouch,
it just means you're smart. It just means you're smart.
I wouldn't go that far. But
that's
yes.
what he said. It's like, why would I pay taxes? I'm smart.
All right. Then I guess I'll stop paying him too.
Wesley, I have not paid this year, so Wesley Snipes is a genius. All right.
On that note.
That's all we have for today. Whether you're listening on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher, or whether you tuned out 20 minutes ago, thank you for listening. Get in touch with the show on Twitter at LockedOnHeat or by email, where you can send us mailbag questions, comments, or sponsorship opportunities. That's LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. And if you're not subscribed already, please do that and leave us a review. We'd appreciate it. This is our last podcast of the week. We'll be back on Monday with a mailbag. Enjoy your weekend, and thanks for being with me, David.
You got it, Wes.
Hey, Wes again. Did you know that podcast listeners are 65% more likely to engage with a sponsor than listeners of any other medium? If your company is looking to reach a male audience between the ages of 18 and 44, you should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Heat is listened to by 95% men, 74% of which are between the ages of 18 and 44. Plus, our rates are reasonable, or you can decide that for yourself. Email us at lockedonheat@gmail.com to find out more about sponsoring Locked On Heat and engaging the audience you want to reach.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.